Blog Talk Radio.
All right, I want to welcome everybody back to another edition of Questions and Answers, hosted by your man, T. Wash. First off, what I'd like to do is this website I go to called On This Day in Sports History. Okay, and I always begin the show, for the most part, with what's going on, or what happened in the past on today's present day. So, on this day, July 13th, 1994, O.J. Simpson was charged with double murder, the murder of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and Ronald Goldman. I still remember when that stuff happened, man, that Bronco chase, that Ford Bronco chase. It was crazy. I still remember, man. I remember where I was. I was at Purdue Calumet, when that happened. So that's just crazy stuff. O.J. Simpson, man. Well, for the trial, I'm sorry. I was at Purdue Cal for the trial. I was in high school when that happened. 1994, man. I was a junior. So that was my mistake. But hey, what I'm gonna do today, basically, I'm gonna continue my conversation about the NBA power rankings and you know, I'm gonna start where I left off on Thursday's show. I think I left off with the Pacers. So I'm gonna talk about that. And I also want to talk about football. Guys, if you want to call in and chime in about your favorite team, you want to tell me about your favorite team, why you like them so much, how far you think they'll go this year in the NFL. Because like I said on Thursday, man, I'm itching for NFL season to start. I'm ready for it to start, man. I'm ready to get it busy. So, guys, if you want to call in and talk about any of this stuff, you want to talk about NBA basketball, summer league going on right now, how you think the season is going to be after all these crazy changes, after the madness of free agency. Do you think your favorite team has gotten better? I don't know. I mean, it was a lot of crazy moves. And I also want to revisit the Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook trade. I still don't believe that Oklahoma City was willing to take Chris Paul. Hey, John Rook, big time Patriots guy, man. I write your show, I email you, I send you Facebook messages and everything. Big time Patriots guy. So hey, if you want to call in to my little humble radio show, hey, I'm trying to get to where you were. I mean, where you are. Struggling journalist, man. So I'm trying to get my name out there. But hey, if you want to call in, talk about the Pats, I would love it. 1-347-843-4939. Man, that would be great to talk up the Pats with you. But yeah, like I said, I like to discuss the power rankings, talk football, because like I said, I'm itching to talk football. So guys, if you want to do any of that, call in. What's going on, Reg? So, I got to talk about Serena, too. I'm very disappointed. Serena has had three opportunities to tie Margaret Court for the best singles, you know, record in history as far as majors. And she just can't get it done. And she got waxed today. 6-2, 6-2 to Simona Haslip. I mean, don't get me wrong, Simona Haslip, she's a good player too. She's not bad. But man, to get waxed 6-2 in straight sets, Serena, and that's never happened before to her in the finals of a major, ever. So I don't know if she just wasn't on her game today. She didn't feel like it. It's crazy because she had a good Wimbledon. She had a great tournament. And to see her get destroyed like that was very shocking. So I don't understand. What's going on, Jason? What's going on, Greg? I don't understand how she just took a beating like that. So she has one more shot. She has the U.S. Open coming up here in September. Hopefully, she'll be able to get it done, get Margaret Court tied, and, you know, try to break it next year. Because they usually begin with the Australian Open. That's usually the first major they begin with in tennis. So she could tie Margaret Court in September at the U.S. Open and then break it for the Australian Open in the 2020 season. So I'm hoping that she do this because, I mean, Serena, man, she's a queen, man. She's been the queen of tennis for, what, the past 15 so odd so years? I mean, why not break this record and have the numbers and the records to be recognized as the greatest women's tennis player of all time? I mean, a lot of people already recognize her as the greatest women's tennis player of all time. I do. But don't get me wrong. I love Steffi Graf. I'm a tennis guy, too. I watch tennis. I love tennis. You know, Andre Agassi and Gustavo Guga Korten were like my favorite tennis players. And to me, Steffi Graf, she was mean. Steffi Graf was mean. Monica Seles was mean until she got stabbed in the back by that idiot. But she was mean, too. But Serena, man, she has surpassed all of them. So hopefully she'll, you know, tie this record in the U.S. Open. She'll be on her home soil. So maybe she could tie this record. And then, like I said, break it for the Australian Open. But, guys, what do you think about this Russell Westbrook-Chris Paul trade? Like I said, I still don't believe Oklahoma City took all that money. And I got it wrong, guys. I apologize. I said that he's owed 2 years. Chris Paul has 3 years left on the deal, totaling like $150 million. I know this season he's getting $38 million. Then the next season he's getting like $41 million. Then I think that last season, I think it's a team option, he get like $45 million for Chris Paul, who's 35 years old. But the thing is, I don't think Oklahoma City's going to keep him. They have to keep him until December 15th. That's what Adrian Wojnarowski said. He's like the best NBA analyst, and he knows this stuff compared to everybody else. You know, when everybody was hollering that, you know, KD was going to go to the Knicks, KD and Kyrie was going to go to the Knicks, and Kawhi was going to go to the Lakers, they were all wrong. Adrian Wojnarowski is the one that he said they wasn't going there. He said there was likelihood Kawhi was going to go to the Clippers, which I believe because I really don't think Kawhi Leonard wants to play with LeBron. I think Kawhi would rather play against LeBron than play with him. I mean, why play with him? Why not beat the team? You know what I mean? Why not beat him? So I didn't think Kawhi was going to go to the Lakers, man. I mean, he wanted to go back home because he's a Southern California kid. So he wanted to go back home. And I figured it would be the Clippers. And like I said, man, that lineup they got with him, Patrick Beverley, and Paul George on the wings is going to be deadly. It's going to be brutal. How are teams going to score against him? I don't know. What's going on, Jeff? How you doing? So, yeah, tell me what you guys think about these trades. What do you think about Summer League and what are your teams doing? My man Carson Edwards, I mean, I'm a little disappointed. You know, my Purdue Boiler guy, Carson Edwards, he went out in their first game of this championship round today. And they were undefeated 4-0. And now it's a one-and-done situation, and they went out today losing to Memphis. But my boy Carson put up 25. Hey, he got his guaranteed deal being a second-round pick. He's able to get his guaranteed contract with the Celtics. Now he's going to have a place on that team. And Carson Edwards is going to be a six-man type guy who's going to come in and put in buckets off the bench. He reminds me of my guy from my favorite team, the bad boy Detroit Pistons. He reminds me of Vinny Johnson. Microwave. That's what Vinny was, man. Vinny came off the bench. He had spelled Zeke or Dumars. Come off the bench, Vinny and then lighten it up. Guaranteed 16, 17 game, every rip. I think Carson Edwards is going to do something like that.
Questions and answers, baby.
What's going on? Hey. Who's calling?
Hey, Terrence. This is Sam from Milwaukee. How's it going, bro?
It's going good. How you doing, Sam?
Hey, man. I can't complain. Can't complain, man. Hey, I got a question for you. this week, the last couple of weeks, I haven't been able to watch a lot of sports, man. So, in your honest opinion, okay, I'm a Milwaukee, but I'm a Packers fan. Okay, how do you think those guys look this year?
I think the Packers look good, man. They fixed up their defense because their defense was kind of a small minor issue for them last year. Not as much as their offense because of injuries, but
right.
With them rebuilding their defense, I love the cornerback that you guys have in Zaire Alexander out of Louisville. He's going into his second season. He had a rookie year, so he's capable of being a shutdown type corner. I like what you guys have out of him. And then the biggest thing is Aaron Rodgers is back. That rookie running back you guys had last year, Williams, was good. And like I said, I definitely see the talent because me and my wife, we were up in Foxborough last season for the Packer-Patriot game. And, hey, they had Pats on the ropes, man, until the young rookie, the running back, the Williams kid, had a crucial fumble. That's what saved my Patriots. If he wouldn't have had that fumble, the Packers probably would have won that game up at Foxborough. So I like what the Packers did, man. And like I said, Aaron Rodgers is going to be back healthy. I think the Packers are going to look nice, man. But I do want to tell you, I like what the Bears been doing too, man. So I think you guys may have to worry about the Bears a little bit, especially if their quarterback, Mitch Trubisky, can be on his game. But other than that, man, I see the Packers looking good. They already have them ranked number two behind my Patriots. So a lot of people, analysts and everything, already predicting my Patriots and your Packers in the Super Bowl, something me and you know your sister and my brother-in-law been wanting to have. We've been wanting the Packer-Patriots Super Bowl for all these years, but for some reason, your Packers come up short. So hopefully this year, man, both of our teams will be able to make the Super Bowl, and we can have the Super Bowl party
right
that we're trying to have.
Hey, you know, that's one team. I'm kind of glad the Patriots are in the AFC. You know, because the Patriots and Tom Brady, man, that's one team that, you know, that's one team that you really don't want to see in the Super Bowl. You know, to be honest, you know, the Patriots are looking pretty good the last several years. Tom Brady, you know, he's an awesome dude, man. You know, hey, thank goodness we got Aaron Rodgers, though. But, yeah, Rodgers and Brady, that'd be a quarterback. That'd be game of the century, man, you know, I think.
Yeah, definitely, man. Two of the top five quarterbacks in the league, definitely. That definitely be a good matchup. And like I said, that's something we've been wanting as a family for years, but it hasn't, you know, it hasn't come to fruition. So, you know, if both our squads can stay injury free,
I said Green Bay always been coming up a little short, man. You know, last year was just disappointing, man. You know, it's real disappointing, man.
Yeah. But, you know, like I said, man, you guys had injuries and, you know, Aaron Rodgers, he wasn't completely healthy all last year either. So that's going to be the theme, man. If the, you know, the key players for the Patriots and the key players for the Packers can stay healthy, then it's a chance that both can probably get through their conferences. And like I said, we get that matchup as a family we've been trying to get.
Yeah, hopefully this year be the year. You know, we'll see how it goes. So, I heard you talk to some about the old school, what was that, the Pistons?
Oh, yeah, man. That was my favorite team, man. I wasn't a Chicago Bulls fan, even though I'm from the Chicago area. I hated the Bulls. I hate Michael Jordan. Yeah, I hate Michael Jordan. I'm saying it, Facebook Live. If you want to know why I hate Michael Jordan, call in. Yeah, I hate Michael Jordan, man. He's a great player. I always give him his due, always give him his props.
Yeah.
But I am not a Michael Jordan fan. I wore his kicks. I had his kicks in high school, even some as an adult. But I just, he's an arrogant prick to me, man. I mean, and I was a Detroit Bad Boy fan. That's my favorite team, man.
Yeah, I remember the Bad Boys. Remember Sally, man? Was that John Sally?
John Sally. You got Joe Dumars, Mark McGuire, Bill Laimbeer. Everybody hated Laimbeer, but I love Laimbeer.
Yeah, Laimbeer was a dirty boy, you know what I mean? But he was a good center, man. You know, he good for, like, what, about 8 or 9 points? But he'll block
man.
Shots.
Big Bill averaged, like, 16,
too,
man.
He'll foul out, too, Big Bill. You know, but Bill Laimbeer, yeah. I remember him and John Sally. They had Microwave. They had, who else they had? Of course, Isaiah Thomas. You know, he came out of Indiana, man.
Boy,
you know.
They had Mark McGuire, Isaiah Thomas, John Sally, Bill Laimbeer, James Edwards. I mean, they had a squad, man. And, you know, the thing that tripped me out is those 2 years they won, man, everybody just forget that in history because they were the bad boys. But those 2 years, they had it sold up, man.
Yeah, Detroit. Yeah,
89
Detroit
and 90, they had sold up.
I remember they used to go, you remember the Knicks? I think it was the Knicks. They used to battle the Knicks in the Eastern Conference. Am I right? No, the Knicks.
No,
the
they used to battle the Celtics a lot, man.
Celtics,
it was always Larry Bird against Isaiah.
Yeah. Hey, Robert Parrish. You know Robert Parrish of the Celtics?
Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, he's a bad boy too, man. Hey, I just wanted to give you some love, man, and ask you a couple of questions. You know what I'm saying? Hopefully, I'll be able to watch some sports. You know what I'm saying? More so because I've been on the go, you know, traveling out of town and all that, man. But I support your show, man. And you have a good evening, my brother.
All right. Thank you, Sam, man. I appreciate it. Hey, call anytime, man. Thursdays, Saturdays, 7:30 Eastern,
right.
6:30 your time.
Okay, boo-boo, I got you. I'm going to pass your number along, man, because there's a lot of sports fans in the building, man, you know, instead of me debating.
All right, man, do that,
them,
man.
You know
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate the love. I appreciate people calling in because, you know, this is what I want to do, man. I'd rather do this than you know, the job I'm doing now. So kind of just trying to put myself out there, man.
Right, right. God bless you, bro. Take care, man. I'll holler at you later.
All right, God bless you too, bro.
Love.
All right, yeah, I want to thank Sam for calling in. I appreciate it. Anybody else want to call in? You see, and that's what I'm saying. It doesn't just have to be the topics I'm throwing out here. If you got something you want to put to the table to discuss, call in, man, and we'll discuss it. You know, like I said, I'm talking NBA today. I want to talk football because I got that itch for football. I'm ready for fantasy football. I'm ready for red zone. I love my red zone, man. I'd rather watch red zone than the whole game. Only time I watch the whole game is if it's a Sunday night or Monday night. Other than that, man, I'm watching NFL red zone. What's going on, Corwin? I'd rather watch red zone than watch a full game. So, yeah, I'm ready, man. I'm ready for fantasy football. I'm ready for all that. What's going on, eBay? So I'm ready for all that, man. So if you guys, like I said, if you want to call in and talk about football, you want to talk about the NBA Summer League, you want to talk about the upcoming NBA season, what do you think about all these teams after all these crazy trades and free agency signings and all that? What do you think about these teams? You want to call in and discuss your favorite team? Let me know who your favorite team is so we can talk about them. But let's debate. Are they going to be good or are they going to suck? What do you think? Give me a call. 1-347-843-4939. Yeah, I'm still, like I said, man, I'm still a little ticked off about Serena, too, man. I thought she was going to pull through and tie this Margaret Court lady. Because I'm ready for her to have the numbers, too. Have the numbers and have the records. You know what I'm saying? What's going on, Conan? I'm ready for her to have the numbers and the records to show that she's the best female tennis player of all time. You know what I mean? Like I said, we all know she is. I mean, she is. But like I said, I've seen some bad chicks. I grew up watching tennis, too. I like tennis, you know. Tennis, basketball, football, NCAA basketball, NCAA football, all those type of things I could talk about exclusively. Now, if you call me with some golf, I could talk about it a little bit. I even know more hockey. Yeah, eBay. You know, we could talk about old school hockey. I don't really, you know, mess with new school hockey too much. But what do you think about the Blues? I was shocked that the Blues won. What's going on, B? I was shocked that the Blues won the Stanley Cup. But, hey, finally. I know Brett Hall hated it because they had good teams back in the 90s where they should have won. But, you know, my man, my team that I rooted for back in high school, Pittsburgh Penguins, my man Mario Lemieux, Jaromir Jagr, they were running the mid-90s. So, you know, Brett Hall couldn't get it. But I'm pretty versatile, man. But like I said, if you call me with some hockey, you're going to be doing more of the talking than I am. Not hockey, I'm sorry, golf. I can't do golf, man. Golf and soccer, nah, man. It's crap, just too boring for me. And my daughter plays soccer. And it's boring as hell, man. I can't do it. I mean, I can sit there and watch my daughter because she's my kid and I got to support her, but I don't like soccer, man. I mean, we did the Indy 11 game. I just couldn't do it, man. I'm like, Ray, can we leave? No, Dad, no. Because she likes soccer. So, you know, I got to do the fatherly thing and sit there and watch soccer. He definitely was the man. All right, well, let me get to these power rankings. Let me finish where I left off. So, on Thursday, I went to USA Today Sports, and they had their rankings, you know, these teams after all the trades. They had the Clippers number one, which I agree with. Because, like I said, I mean, their perimeter is sold up, man. Who's going to score on them? That's going to be sick, man. You got Kawhi on one wing, Paul George on one wing. You got Montrezl Harrell protecting the middle. And you got Patrick Beverley, who's a bulldog and who likes to be an irritant against the point guard. So that's going to be nasty, man. I just can't wait because, like I said on Thursday, I know Christmas Day, that's going to be the game. That's going to be the game of the night. The Clippers and the Lakers. And watching that Rajon Rondo, Patrick Beverley matchup, that's going to be fun, man. And I'm looking forward to it. So, yeah, they have the Lakers number two. I agree with that. You know, the addition of Ernie. Well, not Ernie, but Burt. Anthony Davis. I'll call him Burt because of that unibrow. He reminds me of Burt. But the addition of Anthony Davis, bringing in Boogie Cousins, re-signing Rondo, which is a great re-sign, and JaVale McGee. I think that was a I think that was a re-sign too, because he's a rim protector, blocks shots, he gets you alley-oop dunks and all that type of stuff. So those are good re-signs. And you know, I expect LeBron to come back healthier this season than he was last season. So with LeBron, AD, Kuzma, who I'm glad that they kept. Because I know New Orleans wanted him as part of that trade package at first, but somehow the Lakers were able to keep him. He's a good player, and I think he fits well with LeBron. I'm not too excited about their bench, though. I think the Clippers got the better bench. I mean, they got Jared Dudley. I mean, he's okay. I mean, he's a veteran. He brings in that good veteran leadership. He is locker room guy. He'll come in and play some physical defense and, you know, he'd be like a motivational type, you know, character for him. And he could hit a few threes. Then Danny Green. Danny Green on his last legs, man. I mean, he's not like he was with the Spurs. With the Spurs, man, he was hitting threes and, I mean, like really hitting threes and stuff like that. He could still play a little D. So the Lakers at number two, I think that's good, but I still don't think that they could beat the Clippers in the seven-game series. Then they had the Bucks at number three. I agree with that because in the East, I see it being the Bucks and the Sixers. It's going to be one of those two teams. The Greek Freak could be coming back off of MVP season a year, you know, better. Then they re-signed Chris Middleton, which was good. He needed to have his running mate, and they re-signed him. Now, them losing Malcolm Brogdon to the Pacers, which is going to greatly benefit the Pacers, I think that's going to hurt the Bucks because Eric Bledsoe, he's a number two. He's not really a point guard. So they're going to have him running the point guard spot. You know, and then, like I said, they have Middleton Antetokounmpo. They re-signed Brook Lopez, who used to have an inside game. Now, all of a sudden, he's a damn seven-foot three-point shooter. They re-signed him. But I like that they brought in his twin brother, too, Robin Lopez, because he does all that dirty work. He rebounds, blocks shots, plays defense. Give you those putbacks and, you know, those garbage-type buckets. They need a guy like that, a scrappy-type guy. So the Bucks at number three, that's fine. Denver, number four, I agree with that too because they got a big team, man. And Jusuf Nikola Jokic, he could be an MVP candidate next season, man. The dude's good. Shoots threes, plays big man ball. He's a center. Nice outside touch, shoots free throws, rebounds, great passer. And then, you know, you got Jamal Murray running the point guard spot. He's a good player. And then you got the kid from here in Indy that plays there, Harris, that played at Michigan State. He's pretty good. Still got old reliable Paul Millsap at the four. And then they have who I believe is going to be the steal of the draft, Bobo, Manute Bol's son. I think he's going to be the steal of the draft. They got him. So I agree with them in you know, having Denver at number four. Now, they had Rockets. The Rockets are number five. before the Westbrook trade, I did not agree with that. I mean, I still don't agree with that, them being number five. I put Utah in their place because you got Mike Conley Jr., you know, with his addition there, Donovan Mitchell, his running mate, in the backcourt with him. Then the Pacers lost Bogdan Bogdanovic to them. He shoots three-pointers. He tries to play defense. He's okay. They have him at the three, and then they got Joe Ingles, the Australian guy who shoots threes and plays physical defense and just all-around good, fundamentally sound player. And then you got Rudy Gobert in the middle. Utah's going to be nice. So I can't put them above the Rockets, you know. So basically, I'll drop the Rockets to nine. I mean, I like that they picked up Russell Westbrook, and I do think that him and James Harden will be able to play with each other just because of the simple fact they played with each other for years in Oklahoma City, and they boys, unlike James Harden and Chris Paul, we never heard about them, like, really, truly being homies. And we knew they got along. They did a State Farm commercial together, but do we truly know if they boys?
Questions and answers, baby.
What's going down?
What's going on? Who's calling?
My name is Herman, and I'm from Seattle.
All right. What's up, Herm? How you doing, buddy?
I'm straight, man. I'm straight. Just wanted to chime in on a couple things, or one thing, really. You know, I don't have a bunch of time, but I wanted to ask how the product of the NBA looks to you now versus how it looked when we were, like, kids or something, you know?
Honestly, man, I like it more when we were kids because when we were kids, you know, the 80s and 90s, man, those were the years. I mean,
correct.
You didn't have all this crybabiness stuff. They played physical. You couldn't go to the hole. You could hand check. Think about it.
Yeah.
If you allowed the hand check, you know, now, you wouldn't see all these people falling from getting shook and all these easy buckets getting scored. You couldn't go to the through the lane. During the years when we were growing up, man, you got hit.
Right.
My bad boy Pistons. You know what I mean? You took a beating. It wasn't easy. And it seemed like the older guys from that time when we were kids, they were more about the love of the game, Herm, than these kids
right.
are. They were mad when they lost. You know, like, say they're playing in the playoffs. They were pissed when they lost the game. It's like these
right.
guys now, they lose. Oh, I'm so wet. We get them next time. You know, and I hate that they changed the playoff format because when we were young, the first round of the playoffs went three games.
Right.
I mean, five games. I'm sorry. It went five games, and you could sweep them in three. Now,
right.
every series goes seven games, and that's just the money factor. That's all that is.
Right.
But
okay.
the game was more physical. The games, the guys played more for the love of the game, and it wasn't all this – hopping from team to team, having three or four stars on one team. The main
right.
star from those teams wanted to lead their team to a championship without joining.
I want to propose something crazy to you, man.
Okay.
Can we get rid of the three-point shot?
Man, you know what? If they did, the game would be more fundamentally sound. Because think about it. The women – you know, now I go to Indiana Fever games sometimes because, you know, my daughter, but you know what I mean? It's not as exciting because it's not above the rim with the exception of Brittany Griner. But they fundamentally sound. The females game, if you watch a female game, they pass the ball right, they run their sets right, everything is fundamentally sound. So it's almost like they playing without a three-point line. They not just chucking up a lot of threes. They trying to make the correct passes and ball movements. It's like the men is all about flash. So if they did take away the three-point line, it might be a little boring, but the game will be more fundamentally sound than it is, man. But I don't know, man. I think I like having that three-point line.
I'm sorry, man. That's nothing more disheartening. I tell you what, the Houston Rockets, when they get down, I mean, this is as recently constituted, like with James Harden and Chris Paul, when they would get down, the game would just turn to garbage right on the television. It was hard to watch. It was horrible. I couldn't do it.
I agree, man, because think about it. They shot the most three-pointers in the NBA, and they just keep chucking them. And unfortunately, even with Westbrook, they gonna have the same type of team, man. They still gonna have guys that's gonna be chucking threes. They still got Eric Gordon. They still got James Harden. Russell Westbrook be chucking threes. They still got PJ Tucker. So I expect them to lead the league in shooting threes again.
Well, I think I can't agree that it's gonna be the exact same team, because you certainly are upgrading from Chris Paul to Russell Wilson. I mean Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, definitely.
So. But, yeah, that's just, I wanted to throw that at you, man, and see what you thought about it, because, you know, that's what I'm on these days, because the game just doesn't have any real poetry to it anymore, man. It's lost.
I agree with that. It, like I said, that's why I love the 80s and the 90s. And, you know, those to me were my favorite years, because, like I said, it was more about the love of the game. It wasn't about money and, you know, not worrying about that game, or we lose, okay, we get them next time. You know, Jordan, even though, you know, I hate Jordan, Jordan and all those guys, they'd be pissed they lose, man.
Correct.
That's, you know what I mean? So,
yeah. Well, hey, on that note, man, I'll let you go, man. I just wanted to drop that on you, man. Thank you for taking my call.
All right, man. Thanks, Herm. You already know the deal. Hey, Thursdays and Saturdays, man. I mean, I know it's extra early for you because you're in the West, but – hey, whenever you can, man, give me a call, bro. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Take care.
All right. Yeah, that's my boy Herm, man, especially during football season. You know, man, we fellow Patriots, so you know you got to call in during football season so we could talk about those Pats. So, hey, it's all good. Hey, Debbie, how you doing? I know you don't know anything about sports. It's fine. I'm just appreciate that you're on here checking me out. That's good enough for me. Guys, if you want to call in and talk about any of this stuff, you want to talk about basketball, talk about football, Colts fans, call in and talk about Colts. We can do that. 1-347-843-4939. And where'd I leave off at? Oh, yeah, I was talking about the Rockets. I moved the Rockets down to 9. I still think, even with Russell Westbrook, I don't think that they're better than the Blazers. I don't think they're better than the Jazz. I don't think they're better than Denver. I don't think they're better than the Lakers or the Clippers. Even with Russ, I don't see them beating those teams. I think those teams are just stronger as a unit compared to Houston, especially with Mike D'Antoni as coach, who don't preach defense. We know James Harden is one of the worst defenders in NBA history. He plays no defense. All you got to do is go to YouTube and type up James Harden defense, and you will see. James Harden literally had a play where he let somebody just run right by him. He just standing there. Dude just jerked right around him. No grab, no push, no elbow, nothing. He just let the dude go. So, yeah, James Harden plays no defense. So, yeah. At six, I got the Blazers. I like the Blazers, man. Big time Damian Lillard fan, and I could see them, making a push. They made it to the Western Conference Finals this year. Unfortunately, they just ran into that buzzsaw, which was the Golden State Warriors. Even without Kevin Durant, they were too strong for the Blazers, man. You got Steph and Clay going nuts in that series, so it was basically nothing they can do. It's only so much Dame and CJ can do. You know, when you had to worry about the all-around game of Draymond Green damn near averaged a triple-double in that series against Portland in that West Finals. So it was really nothing they can do. All right, let me speed it up here and get to these other rankings. 8, I got the Celtics. I like Kemba Walker. I like the addition of Kemba Walker. I like what he brings to them. I said before, Brad Stevens has a great offense that's predicated towards his guards. Every point guard he's had in the system has played well. Little Isaiah Thomas averaged like 30. Kyrie averaged like 26. I expect Kemba to slide right in and don't miss a beat as far as the scoring. Only difference is I don't think he's the head case that Kyrie Irving is. Kyrie Irving is a head case, and I say good riddance, because they proved that they can win without Kyrie in Boston. And it's like when he got back, him and Hayward, they came back and they didn't play good. Jason Tatum game, took a dive. He had a sophomore slump last season compared to his rookie year. So I expect him to have a better year. I got the Pacers next at number 9. I'll take the Pacers at number 9, man. And it all depends on if Vic Oladipo come back healthy. If he come back healthy, man, the Pacers going to be great. Then I think I put the I got the Rockets at 10. Now, I think that's probably where they're at as far as the power rankings. And then the Warriors at number 11. I'm not going to count the Warriors out because once Klay come back, then hopefully it'll be after the All-Star break. Once Klay get back, then I think they'll be able to make some noise. So, it's going to be crazy, man. This NBA season is going to be crazy. Guys, 1-347-843-4939. I'm going to take a quick break, and then I want you guys to call in, man. Chime in if you want to call in, talk about basketball, you want to talk about football, then call in, man, so we can do that. Right now I'm about to play this song from one of my favorite players. His name is Allen the Answer Iverson. It's called 40 Bars. One of his songs where Commissioner Stern wouldn't let him release his CD. What's going on, Tuss? David Stern wouldn't let him release his CD, so he kind of banned Allen Iverson from bringing his album out. But I'm going to take this break, quick break right quick, and I want you guys to listen to this. And then give me a call if you want to talk about some sports. Like I said, I'm talking about the NBA right now. I'm talking about all the free agency moves that's been made. How do you think these new teams are going to do with these new moves that's been made as far as free agency? How do you think they're going to do? Talking about NBA Summer League. And like I said, the biggest thing I want to talk about is football, because I'm ready for football, man. So gather up your questions and call me back after I come off this break. 1-347-843-4939. Check out AI.
For the year 2G, the rap game changed for one name. Jules ain't explain anything on this plane. Remains are found when the best kept secret get heated. You went platinum with a ghostwriter, so in the game you won, you cheated. My slang banging, you need it. Man enough to pull a gun, be man enough to squeeze it. Damn, you don't believe it. Anything to do with millions, I'ma be with it. Hats off to the hardcore niggas, fuck the rest. But my guess, y'all useless, just talking music. Never mistake me for a fake MC, you got the wrong idea. Nigga, I'm CP. Get murdered in a second and first degree. Come at me with faggot tendencies, you be sleeping with a maggots beat. Ain't nothing kinda used to beef, actually. But when it's on, I raise first automatically. Won't catch me as a victim in a rap cavity. Dynasty Raiders hit VA in the summertime. What? 10 Bentleys in one line. Gas in each hand, twin 4-5s in mine. Snipers hitting niggas long distance for a race. Sons and daughters, one order, you be floating in water. Bad news, home of the Dynasty Raiders. One love to the old school niggas dead in jail, they tried to raise us. Even the ones that tried to blaze us, but couldn't even graze us. So them bitch ass niggas y'all killing don't amaze us. I'm flopping, I'm spitting with a mouthful of rage.
All right. That was my man, Allen Iverson. That was one of his songs called 40 Bars. Like I said, it was banned basically from the NBA. David Stern wouldn't allow him to release his album. So it kind of got thrown out there on YouTube. And that's how I was able to get, like four of his tracks. I went on YouTube and basically murdered him off there. Like I say, he's my favorite player, man. Played with heart. One of the toughest little big men ever to play the game. And I miss him, man. Those are my favorite years. Like I said, the NBA now, it seemed like it's more about money and shine as compared to back then. It was more for the love of the game. And those guys played hard, man. They weren't trying to lose any game. And they cared when they lost. It's like these guys, they don't even care if they lose. So now I'm going to get back to these power rankings. Now, I left off with the Warriors. Okay, so USA Today, they have the Brooklyn Nets at number 12. Now, I wouldn't agree with that for this season because, like I said, I got an issue with Kyrie Irving. I don't think Kyrie's a true leader, and I think he needs an alpha with him. That's why he kind of tore apart that Celtics team, and they had the team in place to make it to the finals. I know going into last season, I picked the Celtics to go to the NBA Finals. Because the previous year, they made it to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals in Boston against Cleveland. And it took LeBron being LeBron James to beat those young cats and get to the finals to face the Warriors. So everybody predicted, oh, damn, well, Boston going to make the finals, you know, next year. Like I said, the first, like, 30-some games, it was all fine and dandy, man. Kyrie balling, and next thing you know, the guy talking about the world being flat and basically calling out his teammates, calling out those youngsters in public, not behind closed doors in public. He calling them out and just got a bunch of friction started with that young Boston team. And you saw it. You saw it in the playoffs. They all quit against Milwaukee. So I think Kyrie is not a leader, man. I think he's more of a number two. So I'm curious to see how he's going to do. Like I said, this USA Today rankings have the Nets at number 12. Out of 30 teams in the NBA have Nets at number 12. I wouldn't do that right now because I'm wondering if Kyrie going to tear apart that young squad. You know, he'll start off balling good, but then what's going to happen when they start getting into a losing streak and, you know, he start missing shots and, you know, or one of the youngsters don't play too great or whatever because they're going to have to get adjusted to him. He's used to having the ball in his hands at all times. So those youngsters are going to have to get adjusted to that too. I mean, they were used to D'Angelo Russell running the show. And in my opinion, D'Angelo Russell's more of a passer and more of a giver than Kyrie is as far as the ball. So I think those youngsters are going to have to get adjusted to Kyrie. Are they going to be able to do that? I like Caris LeVert. Is Caris LeVert game going to flourish or is it going to go downhill because of the addition to Kyrie? KD's not going to be there for another season. He's out this whole season. And I believe that's what he needs. I believe he needs KD there with him in order for him to truly be successful. Because, I mean, why do you think he called LeBron during the season? He called LeBron during the season to apologize to LeBron because of what LeBron, you know, LeBron was trying to work with him in Cleveland. And, you know, he hated that. And so now he understood because, you know, he like, well, damn, I'm with these young guys here. I understand what you went through with me. He called apologize to LeBron James. So I don't think Kyrie's a good leader, man. So I don't want to put the Nets at number 12. I don't think the Nets going to be number 12. I mean, like I say, I like the young talent they got, but I don't think they're the 12th best team in the NBA. Not without KD. Once KD get there, and if KD can come back from that Achilles, I don't know, man. That's a tough one. Guys normally don't come back from Achilles tendon injury and be the same. So I'm curious to see if he'll be able to come back right. They have the Toronto Raptors at 13. I don't think they should be there too because they lost a lot, man. They lost Kawhi, you know. And I got to do it, man. Every time I talk about Kawhi and break up his name, man, I have to. I have to. Because that's him laughing at everybody. You know, he won the championship, had fools thinking he's going to go to the Lakers. I didn't think he's going to go to the Lakers because he don't want to play with LeBron. He don't. He want to beat LeBron. Why play with him? Beat him. So, you know, he had them looking like fools. Oh, everybody getting all excited thinking they're going to have the super squad with LeBron, AD, and Kawhi. Nah, that wasn't going to happen. You know, and like I said, that's why I loved the NBA during the 90s, 80s and 90s, man. They didn't have all these guys on one squad, man. I mean, you had Scottie Pippen, Michael Jordan, but Scottie didn't come in as a bona fide star. He kind of built his way up to that. You know what I mean? Then on the Knicks, what? The major star you had on the Knicks was Patrick Ewing. I mean, you had good guys like my man John Starks. I just love John Starks. Yeah, remember when he dunked on Michael Jordan and Horace Grant? Everybody wanted to say it was just Horace. Nah, he dunked on Mike Butt too. And yeah, you like I said before, man, I'm not a Michael Jordan guy. So yeah, you know, every once in a while I'm gonna take a shot at Mike. Even though he's the greatest player of all time, I will give him that. I'll never take that away. Michael Jordan was the greatest player ever. But every once in a while I'm gonna take a shot at him. because I don't like him. But, yeah, I mean, he had guys like John Starks, Anthony Mason, you know. Those weren't bona fide stars, you know. The thing I do like about what happened with all these free agency pickups and trades is that now it's a lot of parity, especially in the West. The West is going to be fun, man. I mean, you got two – it's like every team got two bona fide players on it now in the West. So that's – I mean, how many duels is it, man? You got C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard for Portland. Denver, you got Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic. Utah, you got Mike Conley Jr., Donovan Mitchell. Those are your stars there. I mean, it's a lot. The Lakers, AD and Bron, Clippers, Kawhi, Paul George. I mean, the parity is beautiful, man. That's one thing I do appreciate about what's happened this offseason in the NBA is that the parity is beautiful. It's going to be a lot happening. Now, they got the Spurs at 14. And like I said, the Toronto, man, I mean, Pascal Siakam might be their best player now that Kawhi's gone. I mean, Kyle Lowry, he's okay, but I don't want to put him in no superstar-type category. I mean, he's an all-star. Sometimes I don't think he deserves to be an all-star, but he is. But I'm going to go ahead and say Pascal Siakam's probably going to be the best player. He's probably going to prove even more next season. And they still got Marc Gasol, you know, patrol the middle. They still got Fred VanVleet, you know, who probably might get a starting spot now, maybe, unless they want to have him continue to back up Kyle Lowry. You know, but I don't think that they'll be a strong team in the East because they lost, you know, they lost so much. They might be floating around there around that 7 or 8 seat. And that's why I see Toronto. And the Spurs, you know, somehow, some way, Popovich always get them boys to play. I don't know how good they're going to be. I mean, they have DeMar DeRozan. They have LaMarcus Aldridge, you know. DeJounte Murray will be back. Now it's the point guard who took Tony Parker's spot, but he got hurt basically at the beginning of the season last year. So he'll be back. I don't know how they're going to be. I mean, but you can't count Popovich out. I mean, I expect them to be a winning squad, and I expect them to be in the playoffs, but I don't see them making a deal in the playoffs or nothing like that. Not a surprise team in the NBA, man, in my opinion. And they got them ranked as the 15th best team in the NBA. Sacramento Kings, man. Man, I mean, I do think, and they said this on here, they said they overpaid Harrison Barnes. They did. Harrison Barnes is okay, man. He's not worth $94 million. He's okay. I love the kid out of Kentucky that they got running the point guard. Oh, my God. I can't remember his name, man, because he bust up Lonzo Ball in the tournament. Oh, man, what is his name? De'Aaron Fox. Yeah, I love that they got him starting at the point guard spot, and he's improving every season. So De'Aaron Fox, then they got they drafted my man from here, Indianapolis, Kyle Guy. Hopefully he make the squad and get him some punch off the bench. They got Marvin Bagley, who just finished the little rap beef with Damian Lillard. They got him. He played good last year. They traded Colley Stein to the Warriors, which to help out the Warriors because they need a type of guy that can crash the boards, block shots, and do that type of thing. The Warriors need that. So they got him from Sacramento. I'm pretty sure Bagley's going to take all of those minutes. That's why they traded him away. So they have the Kings at number 15, man. I mean, that I can see them challenging for a 7 or 8 seed. Nah, this team, they got Dallas Mavericks at number 16. I love Luka Doncic, man. That kid, rookie of the year, that kid was great, man. He played good all year. He's like 6'8", man. He's running the point guard spot. He the reason why they traded Dennis Smith Jr. to the Knicks. They didn't need him no more, man. Yeah, Luka Doncic, this guy hitting game winners. He can shoot. He goes to the basket. He's smart. Man, Luka Doncic is the truth. And if Kristaps Porzingis come back healthy, he's been out, what, like the last 2 years and stuff. If he can come back healthy, he's basically the new Dirk. 7 feet, can shoot threes, and he can play inside. And has a little bit of a handle. So I like what Dallas did too, man. I mean, having them two, that's going to be your duel for them. And that's what I'm saying. It's duels, like good duels all over the West, Western Conference, man. So it's going to be a very fun season. Guys, if you want to call in and talk about any of this stuff, you want to talk about basketball, you want to talk about football, give me a call at 1-347-843-4939. Like I said, man, training camp coming up here soon. I'm ready to talk about the Patriots and see where it go, man. I'm ready for it, man. I need the Patriots to come in and talk. I mean, come in and ball. As long as they stay injury-free, man, I think they're going to be all right. As long as they got Tom Brady and Belichick, everything going to be fine. And like I said, I know all you guys out there, you hate the Patriots. And, you know, hey, I welcome the chat, man. If you call in and tell me why you hate the Patriots, then, hey, call in. If you want to call in and talk about your favorite team, call in and do that. Let's make it happen. Let's have a conversation about it. All right. So after Dallas, they have the Miami Heat. Yeah, Jimmy Butler do make them better. I wonder if they're going to try to get Chris Paul at the trade deadline or something. But they were saying that Oklahoma City can't move Chris Paul's contract at least until December 15th. So he's going to play at least a month of the season in Oklahoma City. And they might chip on the roof for him because if you guys remember, after Hurricane Katrina, the New Orleans Hornets had to go and play in Oklahoma City. This is before Oklahoma City had a franchise. This is when Russ and KD were still in Seattle, who I believe should get an NBA franchise again because Seattle was a good city, a good NBA city. I used to love those uniforms back when those early 90s uniforms, back when Kemp and Gary Payton and Ricky Pierce and Kendall Gill, you know, those guys played. Even old Michael Cage with the Jerry Curl. How many of y'all remember that? Michael Cage had the Jerry Curl out there balling. Those years, man. Those some good Seattle squads. And like I said, Ricky Pierce is automatic off the bench. You know, Seattle should get another team back. But anyway, like I said, after Hurricane Katrina, the New Orleans Hornets moved there and played there for a little while, you know, until they fixed up New Orleans again. And Oklahoma City, you know, they adopted them. They were happy with them. They became a good home court advantage for them when teams came. And, you know, they cheered for Chris Paul. So you never know, man. I mean, I'm curious to see, is Chris Paul going to be an irritant for the month and a half he has to stay there? Or is he going to be a leader? You know, just go ahead and be a leader. And lead that young team, because there's going to be a bunch of young dudes, man. They basically getting rid of all their veterans. And I can see them trying to get rid of Steven Adams here, too. I mean, they might well, if they're going to rebuild, they might well rebuild. So I could definitely see Chris Paul, you know, them moving him. But until they do, is he going to be a leader? Is he going to, you know, galvanize the young squad? And like I said, those fans, they might love him again. And remember that he was there for a period of time when the New Orleans Hornets had to play. Miami Heat and Jimmy Butler. I mean, they just have Jimmy Butler trying to move Goran Dragic's contract. So who are they going to have a point guard? They drafted the kid out of Kentucky, Tyler Hero. He's been balling out in the summer league. He can shoot. He's been showing some toughness. He's been going to the basket. He throws up little floaters. Excellent free throw shooter. So it looks like he might have a good rookie out of him. But, I mean, it's basically going to be Jimmy Butler in, you know, in his show. He said he wanted his own team and he wanted the max, you know, max deal. So, and that's why he chose Miami. I mean, I don't think that the Miami Heat will be that great. They'll be one of those teams fighting for a playoff spot. And the crazy thing is, in the East, it's always seemed like in the East, if you finish with like a 41-41 record or a 40-42 record, you could get that last spot of the playoffs. So you just got to target 40 wins, and they might have a chance to make the playoffs. Whereas in the West, your number 8 seed might have 48 wins. That's how crazy it's going to be in the West. But in the East, you normally could have a losing record and make the playoffs. So who knows? Maybe Miami might, you know, end up with something like that. The 18 team, they have the Detroit Pistons. They got Blake Griffin and they got Reggie Jackson and Andre Drummond. They got those three players are pretty good, but for whatever reason, Detroit just can't win, you know. It's nothing like the old glory days when the Detroit Bad Boys were there. They were winning for sure then. It's clearly different now in Detroit. It's almost like Blake Griffin is kind of a has-been. I'm still okay, but it's not like he was when he was with the Clippers. The difference is, though, he has improved this shot. He can shoot threes now. Blake Griffin can shoot threes. You know, could shoot threes or anything like that back then, you know, when he's with the Clippers. It was all dunks. All dunks. So he has, you know, improved his game, but I don't see Detroit doing anything special. I expect them to, like, be in the lower half. At number 19, they got the Orlando Magic. I mean, they only good player is, what's his name? Nikola Vucevic. They center. And they got that Evan Fournier guy. I mean, that's basically all they have. So I really don't see anything with the Magic. I mean, I don't even want to really talk about them. They don't have anything. I mean, they picked up Markelle Fultz. They got him in a trade from Philadelphia. But he's going, you know, down as one of the worst number one draft picks ever. And it's crazy because when he played at Washington, man, he can play. I don't understand what happened to Markelle Fultz. He drove it to the basket. He shot jump shots. You know, he was a good scorer in his 1 year in college. Then it's like you get to the Sixers, man, and forget how to play. You know, they were saying it was mental or whatever, but, you know, the Sixers ended up trading him. So, I mean, can he come back and have a bounce back season? Play the way everybody thought he was going to play, or is he going to continue to be a bust? I don't know. I guess time will tell with that. Now, as the 20th best team in NBA out of 30, they have the New Orleans Pelicans. I think they're going to be better than that. I can see the Pelicans being better than Orlando. I can see them being better than Miami. I can see them being better than, well, that's probably about it as far as these rankings. I can see them being better than a few teams that they got higher than them. But I love what the Pelicans have done, man. I mean, funny draft Zion number one. I mean, we still got to see if he's going to get back in shape. His one and only summer league, you could tell he wasn't in shape. He was huffing and puffing. He still shoots the line drive jump shot. And like I said, that could be fixed. Hopefully they'll work on that with Zion so he can shoot more of a jump shot with an arch. Because that line drive jump shot stuff is not going to work. It's just not going to work. He needs to have more of a fluid jump shot and develop a mid-range game. And, you know, with the addition of Lonzo Ball, man, I think, like I said before, I think Lonzo is going to have a better career now that he's moved from L.A. because he's not going to have that pressure, you know, of being in the city of L.A. and being the hero, you know, the hometown kid. He's not going to have that pressure of his daddy being all this space and in the same city with him. And, you know what I mean? Because his daddy's going to be probably over in Australia with, you know, with the young brother, LaMelo Ball, getting him ready for next year's draft because he's going to be playing overseas in Australia. So Lonzo's basically going to have a clean slate, fresh start, and he's going to have a lot of people to pass the ball to. And I got a feeling that Lonzo's going to be the UCLA Lonzo that we saw that was a good passer, can score a little bit, plays good defense. He plays defense. He's a good defender. So the Pelicans got a lot of talent, man. So much talent, I think they're going to challenge for a playoff spot. As long as everybody stay healthy. And if Brandon Ingram could come back right, then the addition of J.J. Redick coming off the bench shooting threes, oh, yeah, Pelicans going to be nice, man. And they got that kid, Jackson Hayes, and the other kid, Nikal, Alexander Walker, who's been averaging 24 a game in the summer league. Jackson Hayes been averaging 20 a game in the summer league. So both of their draft picks are producing and seem like they're going to have the capability of producing at the next level, you know, with the big boys. Because, you know, summer league, they playing against like competition and guys that may be worse than them. I think they'll be able to play with the big boys, too. So, I mean, I love the Pelicans, dude, man. They got a lot of firepower, and I could see them making a push for a playoff spot. Next, they got the Atlanta Hawks. Trae Young finished second in the rookie of the year voting. And I didn't think Trae Young was going to be all that great, man, coming into the NBA. When he's at Oklahoma, he was the Steph Curry clone. Came down past half court, firing up threes, trying to make dribble moves and shoot threes. You know, trying to play just like Steph, basically. That's who they compared him to. He had a jump shot. He got a jump shot, you know. It's not like Steph, but he can shoot. And I didn't think he was going to have a good rookie year, man. But he ended up finishing with a good rookie season. Like I said, he finished second to Luka Doncic for rookie of the year. So he played ball, man. And then they got John Collins. He played good. Kevin Huerter, the redhead guy from Maryland. He shoot threes and stuff. And they drafted DeAndre Hunter, who just won a national championship at Virginia. Plays defense. Can score on the wing. Atlanta's looking nice, man. They picked up old boy, another guy who I didn't think was that great. Cam Reddish. I didn't think he was great at Duke. He kind of like swayed me the other way to the end of the season. You know, like when Zion got hurt. When Zion got hurt, man, Cam Reddish started balling. He's shooting, you know, making his threes and everything. I mean, that's what he's known for. He's known as a three-point shooter. But he was going to the basket and doing it all. I understood why they were saying he was like one of the best three-point shooters in high school, you know, coming out before they went to Duke. And they were saying he's the best shooter in the NBA draft. So, you know, he kind of changed my opinion too. So I'm curious to see how he's going to play at the next level. He didn't play any in summer league. So Atlanta, I mean, you know, they have a lot of promise. They got a lot of young talent in place and, you know, what they're going to do with it. You know what I'm saying? There's going to be a lot of teams that's going to be fighting for those last two spots in the East. And, you know, in the East, you can have a losing record and make the playoffs with the eight spot. It's been teams that had 40 and 42. You usually got to at least have 40 wins if you want to make the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. And there's been number eight seeds. It's been 41 and 41, 40 and 42. I remember some years ago, it was an eight seed that had 38 wins. And that's just how it's been. You know, the Eastern Conference is weaker than the Western. All the Western Conference, you know, West Conference have all the best players and have all the best teams. So, you know, Atlanta is going to be tough for them. I mean, they got talent, but can they put it together enough to challenge for a playoff spot? And then this is a team, they have Phoenix Suns at number 22. I feel bad for Devin Booker out of Kentucky, man. All that kid do is ball. He can shoot. He's one of the best shooters in the league. He's capable of putting up 35 to 40 any night, especially if he's hot. And it's almost like he's just wasting away in Phoenix. I mean, he re-upped with him. And I guess he want to continue to be the man, you know, which is okay. But they never building nothing around him, you know, that's going to make them a good team. Phoenix going to be, you know, at the stellar of the Western Conference like they normally is. You know, literally all they have is Devin Booker. I mean, they traded for Rubio, so Rubio will come in and run point. You have Devin at the two. I mean, they got big kid out of Arizona that they drafted last year at the center spot. I can't remember his name. But they got him. I mean, he had a decent rookie year. So you don't expect anything but him to improve more this season. Other than that, who else do they have? I don't know who else they have, you know, that's of note. So, yeah, Phoenix probably is one of the worst teams. Like I said, we're getting down to the tail end of their top 30 as far as NBA rankings. Next team they have is the Chicago Bulls. Chicago Bulls' best player to me is Lauri Markkanen. I like that they picked up Kobe White from North Carolina. He's had a good league. He's proven that he can run, you know, an NBA team. I think he'd be able to run the Bulls if it came down to it. If they put him at the point guard spot, I don't know. It's like they might as well. I don't know if they will, but he's drafted, what, number six? Five or six? Yeah, they definitely should put him at their starting point guard spot. He's 6'5", so he'll be a big guard. I could see him starting alongside Zach LaVine. I can see them being in the backcourt. I think Kobe Wright, he'll come in there. Kobe White, he'll come in there and run the point guard spot good. And then, like I said, you got Lauri Markkanen at three. That Wendell Carter kid out of Duke, he had a decent rookie season last year. He might be the starting five. And then I don't know who their four would be in Chicago. Oh, yeah, they signed Thaddeus Young that used to play for the Pacers. He might be their starting four. So he brings some veteran leadership, but they're not going to have enough talent to do anything. And I don't even know who the Bulls coach is, to be honest with you. So, I mean, yeah, it's about right. We got the Bulls and the Hawks. You know, they like towards the end of the barrel. They're not going to make any noise. They got some decent talent that came in, but they're not going to make any noise where it's significant. Guys, if you want to call in and talk about any of these things, you want to talk about NBA basketball, the rankings after the free agency madness, you want to talk about the summer league, or you want to talk about NFL, or you want to talk about entertainment. I'm watching Stranger Things right now, season 3. Honestly, in my opinion, I got to say this season 3 of Stranger Things is kind of disappointing to me. I don't know if it's because I'm used to them being kids. You know, they getting older now. You know, they like preteens now, so it's like not the same. I'm not really liking the storyline. So in my opinion, it's like season 1 is the best, then season 2, and I got to put this last season as number 3. I still got one episode left to watch of Stranger Things, and then I'll be done. But I'm not liking it. Oh, and I got a movie for you to see. If you want to see a funny movie, man, watch Shaft. Shaft is funny, man. You know Sam. He going to do his cussing, and he going to have his moments where he go off. And yeah, it's funny, man. So Shaft would definitely be a movie recommendation from me to you. And that's what I'm saying, man. I'm kind of versatile. So if you want to talk about movies, maybe there's a movie out there that you've seen that you won't want to tell people about. You want to tell people, you know, that they – you want to recommend that they see it. Call in. 1-347-843-4939. Have you watched Stranger Things? What series are you watching right now? What movie do you want to see? I saw Godzilla. That's pretty good. It's a pretty good movie. If you watched Godzilla when you was a kid like I was, you know, you liked the monsters and everything. They could have showed the monsters more in the movie than they did, but they didn't. And the storyline plot wasn't that great, but just seeing the monsters on the screen and, you know, with technology now, they made them seem more real. You know, when I was a kid, it was people wearing those monster suits with little bitty made-up cardboard towns, and they'd be stepping all on the buildings and things like that. That's what I grew up on. So with technology now, the monsters could actually seem like they big and real and gigantic. So, yeah, Godzilla, I mean, it's not worthy of going to the show to see, but it's definitely worth watching if you got, like, a fire stick like I do, you know, one of them cold, you know, unlocked fire sticks where you can just see stuff and, you know, you don't have to go to the movies if they got a good copy on there. But, yeah. Like I said, man, I'm versatile. I could talk about anything. I could talk about sports, and I want to talk about entertainment. So that's what I'm saying. If you want to talk about any of that stuff, man, give me a call. Okay, let me finish some more of these power rankings. All right. Then the Bulls. Like I said, the Bulls. Minnesota Timberwolves. All they got is Carl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, who's kind of sometimes, you know, sometimes he balls, sometimes he disappears. Jeff Teague, I'm guessing he's still there at the point guard spot. But they're going to be at the bottom too because they only got a few good players. They really don't have nothing around those two. They didn't make any major moves. They was trying to get D'Angelo Russell, but he chose the Warriors. They, I'm guessing the Timberwolves couldn't. Yeah, the Timberwolves didn't have enough to offer the Nets. Warriors had more to offer, so that's why they traded them to the Warriors. Because, yeah, the Minnesota Timberwolves, they needed a point guard. I think they want to move away from Jeff Teague. And Oklahoma City moved from one of the top teams in the NBA to way down to 25. Like I said, Steven Adams, who may be on the trade block now because they're doing a complete rebuild. All Oklahoma City doing is stacking up draft picks. From the Clippers and the Rockets, they got to have like 10 draft picks, man. So that's all they're doing is stacking up draft picks. All they got now is, like I said, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's the point guard of the future, basically. So what are they going to do while Chris Paul there? They're going to move Chris Paul to the one and have Gilgeous-Alexander play the two? I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do, but, yeah. I mean, they're going to have to figure out something because I don't see it working. And like I said, they're going to be basically a dumpster fire. They rebuild mode. You know, like 10 draft picks, what they're going to do with them over the next few years. Charlotte Hornets, the great Michael Jordan's team. Greatest player ever, but horrible owner and GM. Lost Kemba Walker. And they replaced him with Terry Rozier, who played for the Celtics. Well, Terry Rozier finally get to get shot. He always talked about being a starter and what he'd do in this league as a starter. Well, now he's going to have his chance, man. He's going to be running the squad. I mean, I must basically say it's his team because everybody else on there young. I mean, it's going to be him and, Bridges. Bridges out of Michigan State. Those are the only good players of note that I could think of that Charlotte have. I mean, I think they're trying to trade Frank Kaminsky. I don't know if they're trying to trade him or keep him or what. But they still have him. And they still have Cody Zeller, former IU player. So Terry Rozier might be getting his wish, man. He could prove that he's one of the best guards in the league. You're not going to have nobody taking the ball from him. The ball's going to be in his hand at all time. They put on here, losing Kemba Walker and replacing him with Terry Rozier won't help. And they're still saddled with lots of overpaid players. This season will undoubtedly bring back the sad Michael Jordan memes. Those Michael Jordan memes when he crying and stuff. Huh? That probably will be the type of season they have, too, because they have nothing. They have nothing in Charlotte, man. The team that's worse than them is Cleveland. Cleveland Cavaliers, man. All they got is Kevin Love. They got Colin Sexton, but they made a draft pick that I just didn't understand. It didn't make no sense. Why would you take Darius Garland at the number 5 pick? And he's a point guard. And you just drafted Colin Sexton as a lottery pick as a point guard last season. He averaged 16 points a game last year. So why would you draft him? I don't understand that. Why would you draft another point guard right after the other one? You just drafted one last year, and now you draft another one this season. What sense does that make? So what, are you going to move Darius Garland to the 2? I mean, they're comparing him to Damian Lillard. And he's a good shooter. I mean, he can score. But if they move him to the 2, he's going to be an undersized 2 guard. Colin Sexton can't play the 2. He's only about 6 feet, 6'1". And like I said, he had a good rookie season at that point guard spot. So why would you draft Darius Garland? Now, I didn't understand that. And even they saying it on here. How will Colin Sexton and rookie Darius Garland coexist in the backcourt? Yeah, how will they? I don't get it. Kevin Love might be a trade piece. Cleveland, they're in rebuild mode too. I don't know if I was the Warriors. Well, no, not the Warriors. I know Kevin Love probably wouldn't mind going back to, you know, going back home too. He's from California. Well, I mean, Draymond plays that power forward spot. They could trade for. I would trade for Kevin Love. Put Draymond at the three. He could still do what he do at the three spot. Draymond still can bring the ball up. He can still pass. He can still rebound. He can still, like, push for triple doubles like he always doing, even at three spot. I think that would be a good fit, man. I think the Warriors should try to put in a bid for Kevin Love. Why not? They're going to need him, man. They're going to need some help. That way they'll be able to put D'Angelo Russell at the two. They have Steph at the one. Put D'Angelo Russell at the two. They have Draymond at the three. Kevin Love at the four. And then what if they five? Kevon Looney. You have Kevon Looney at the five bars, the five spot. So I would think about doing that if I was the Warriors. 29th team in the power ranking is the Washington Wizards. Man, what happened to them? They had one of those talented backcourts in the league. But don't nobody know what's wrong with John Wall. Nobody know when John Wall's gonna come back. I don't know. They saying that he might not be back until after the All-Star break. So, literally, it's just Bradley Beal. If I was Bradley Beal, I'd be demanding a trade to get me out of there. Because that's another guy. He's kind of like my man from Phoenix. And wasting away. Devin Booker. Devin Booker and Bradley Beal are like the same dude to me. They just wasting away with they sad teams right now. Why not demand a trade, go somewhere where you could at least have a chance at it? You stay in Washington and stay in Phoenix, man, you don't have a shot. You basically just plan for the contract. And see, that's what I'm saying. It was better back then, man. It wasn't just about the money. Those guys, the Barkleys, the Ewins, the Faggot Jordans, the Isaiah, the Bird, the, you know what I mean? Even Karl Malone, John Stockton, Drexler, Olajuwon, all those guys, man. They were trying to win, man. Unfortunately, one dude stood in their way. Michael Faggett Jordan. Until those 2 years he took out. In 2 years he took off, man. It's all Houston. That's when the dream in Houston was running it. Mario Elie coming off the bench. I mean, dude, who the luckiest dude in the NBA? Robert Horry. Dude got 7 rings, man. I mean, not saying Robert Horry was a scrub because he made big shots. And when he came in with Houston from Alabama as a rookie, the first 2 years in Houston, man, Robert Horry, I don't know if people realize, Robert Horry used to dunk on people. Shoot threes, dunk on people, go to the basket. Robert Horry was more athletic, it seemed like, for his Houston years. It's like when he went to the Lakers, man, it was all threes. That's all he did, shoot threes. When he finished with the Lakers and Spurs, he shot threes. That's it. But the dude was able to get 7 championships, dude. That's crazy. Robert Horry. 7. 2 with Rockets, 3 with Lakers, and 2 with the Spurs. This dude got 7 rings, man. That's crazy. My next show, man, I think I'm going to do a show about NBA players who got rings that don't deserve them. Guys who basically took the ride. Guys who were good in college, and I thought they're going to be good in the pros. And they just sucked. Like Adam Morrison. Anybody remember Adam Morrison, man? Played at Gonzaga? Dude was a beast, man. Adam Morrison, Jimmer Fredette. 2 of the coldest white dudes that I've seen play in college. And it's like, man, they got to the league and just couldn't make it. I can't think of an athletic white guy that made it in the NBA besides Bob Sur that used to play with Florida State. Him and Sam Cassell were backcourt mates at Florida State. And Charlie Ward, he's a part of that too. Bobby Sur was the only like athletic white guy I know that kind of made a niche in a career for himself in the NBA. Now, saying athletic, I know my man Jason White Chocolate Williams. He had a decent career too, but he wasn't athletic. He's just a hell of a passer. He was like a Pistol Pete, man. But as far as like athletic white dudes, Bob Sur, man. He's the only one I know of that like played, you know, some good years, man. He started off in Cleveland. But yeah, Adam Morrison, man. Dude averaged like 30 a game at Gonzaga. I still remember that. Coming down, shooting threes, going to the hole, doing it all, man. My man Jimmy Fredette, crossing people up, shooting long threes in their face. Man, I got like three DVDs of BYU games because of Jimmy Fredette. I was really rooting for that kid to make it, man, but he just can't make it. And he was on Golden State Summer League team, and he left. He quit. So I guess he just, like, forget it, man. I guess he just can't hack it in the NBA. I mean, he tries to come back, but, hey, he's a star over in China. Jimmy Fredette got his own shoe. Because, you know, Stephon Marbury went over there for a while and took over. They done put a statue of Stephon Marbury up in China, outside the stadium, because he won them a championship there. But Jimmy Fredette went over there and took over, man. Jimmy Fredette's a star over there. He has his own kicks and everything in China. So I guess he like, forget it, man. I'll just stay over in China. I say he tried to come back to NBA. And I don't understand, because the dude's a good shooter. I guess he just, I don't know if he just freezes up when he gets, you know, plays NBA ball or what. But, man, you can't lose that talent. The way that dude used to shoot at BYU, man, I mean, damn. How could he not go to the league and shoot like that? And I guess, you know, he couldn't get his shot off, man. I mean, maybe they were, you know, D'ing him up and being physical with him, and he got scared. I don't know. But, yeah, he's definitely one that I thought would have made it. Him and Adam Morrison. The difference is Adam Morrison got a championship. He got a championship with the Lakers. I don't get it. You know, that's one type of guy, you know. How the hell he got a championship when guys like Charles Barkley, Patrick Ewing, Karl Malone, John Stockton, you know, Clyde Drexler, Terry Porter, Jerome Kersey, that good Portland squad. Guys like those don't have championships. You notice all those are victims of Jordan. Those guys don't have championships, but Adam Morrison do. All right, the last team, Memphis Grizzlies. Yeah. I mean, all they got is Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson. And we really don't even know how good Ja Morant going to be yet. We have to see him. We got to watch him. We don't know how good he's going to be. He didn't play at all in the summer league. So we're going to have to wait to training camp preseason to see him, you know, the likes of him, the likes of Romeo Langford. We won't see Zion again until then. But Grizzly is all about rebuilding, man. They starting over from scratch. That's why they traded Mike Conley Jr. to Utah. It's all about Jaren Jackson and Ja Morant. They hoping that they can be their Karl Malone, John Stockton. So that's about right. So that's pretty much it for the power rankings, man. So like I said, man, next show I'll probably do something talking about players who got championships and shouldn't have championships. And I'll probably talk about NBA basketball of the 80s and 90s, too. No, I might just do the 90s, man. You know, that's the period I grew up. I mean, I grew up in the 80s, too, but I really was focused on basketball, NBA basketball, in the 90s. Really focused on it. So much that I watched every game that came on TV. Even if Utah came on TV, I watched them. And I couldn't stand Karl Malone and John Stockton. But it was basketball hell, so I watched it. It didn't matter. Like now, I can't even watch regular season basketball. I might watch a few games here and there, like on the holiday. But other than that, man, I can't sit down and watch every NBA game like I used to. Because like I said, and like Hearn pointed out when he called, it's a different game now, man. It's different. It's no love for the game no more like it used to be. I just don't get excited. I mean, playoffs, I'm all in, man. Once the playoffs start, I'm watching every game. But 82-game season, I can't watch all the games no more. I won't be the type that'll get the league pass, the NBA league pass, and now they got it where you can get the league pass for a particular team. Why they couldn't have that back when, you know, in the 90s, you know, back when Iverson was with the Sixers. I would have got that Sixer league pass, just focusing on just the Sixers, watch all their games. I would have did that. Like I said, Allen Iverson was my guy, man. Other than Isaiah Thomas, not little Isaiah Thomas, the old Isaiah Thomas, bad boy Piston Isaiah Thomas. He's my number one basketball player of all time. And Allen Iverson is my number two, man. You know, it's both of them little guys. I always have for the little guy, man. So I like Nate Robinson. I used to like Nate Robinson. I mean, I still do. He playing the Ice Cube League now. But, yeah, little Nate the Great, man. He was good, too. Always rooted for the little guy. But, yeah, man. So, hey, that's it. I'm going to call it a show. I want to thank Sam, and I want to thank Herm for calling in, man. I really appreciate it. All my Facebook Live viewers, I appreciate you guys chiming in just to check things out. If you ever want to give me a call and, you know, talk sports, entertainment, movies, TV series, whatever, then, you know, give me a call. I do the show on Thursdays and Saturdays, 7:30 Eastern time, 6:30 Central. Questions and Answers, hosted by T. Wash. Once football season come around, man, that's when things going to really be good. And I hope to hear from a lot of you guys, especially when, you know, when it comes to talking about your favorite teams and what you think and how they're going to do. See, I'm waiting for that. I'm more excited for football than anything. Cause like I said, hey, man, it's all about red zone. And it's all about fantasy football. You got a fantasy football question, you call in with that. I'll give you suggestions. Like, you know, quarterback I'm picking up this year. And it's crazy because fantasy football draft every year, I pick Rob Gronkowski first. Like the last 7 years, I've been picking Rob Gronkowski first. But I know he's going to give me at least 10 games. At least. Before he get hurt or something like that. So now I'm going to have to alter my drafting style. So I might pick a quarterback first this year. And I'm going to try to pick a quarterback that I got a feeling that, you know, he's going to have a great year. And no, not Tom Brady. Now, I used to be gung-ho about picking Tom Brady, but I don't have to have Tom Brady. I'm going to pick another quarterback, man. I'm not saying nothing just in case if some of my draft mates might be listening. It's a particular quarterback I'm picking. I just know he's going to have a good year. I know it. So, yeah, like I said, Questions and Answers, hosted by T-Wash, Thursdays and Saturdays, 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it. Thank you to my, like I said, thank you to my Facebook Live listeners. Thank you to Herm. And thank you to Sam for giving me a call, man. I really appreciate it. And I'll talk to you guys Thursday, man. Have a good one.